Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk, 1211 Sports, featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn with Robert Sapp and Chad Quinn. Chad Quinn will be joining us as we look ahead to the 2015-2016 NBA season. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can also reach me or follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to Instagram at Rizzo Gerald Quinn. Mr. Sapp, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Excited.
No question about it. As we embark on the 70th season, amazingly, 70 seasons of NBA basketball. With that being said, I wondered, like, you would think they would have have some type of special anniversary team. I don't know. I haven't heard anything, but I would think if this is indeed the 70th season, that they would be celebrating that through, I know they had the anniversary team, the 50th, a few years back with when all that controversy with Shaquille O'Neal making the team. A lot of people thought Shaq shouldn't have been on the team. A couple of the team players were left off. I think Dominique Wilkins in particular. So they should be having something, you would think, for the 70th anniversary as we embark on, again, another exciting season of NBA basketball. A lot of questions to be answered, and we're going to begin with a couple of things. We're going to begin on a sad note. The NBA family lost a member yesterday in Flip Saunders at the age of 60. He was a coach in the NBA, died of Hodgkin's disease, and it happened quick. He was sat out in September, was supposed to sit out the year in September, and he passes away at the age of 60, 17 years as the head coach, in the NBA, as we are now joined by Chad Quinn. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you for having me, man. Glad to be here.
We had to begin the program on a sad note. Passing of Flip Saunders. So we wanted to kind of, get a small tribute to him. 17 years coaching in the NBA, coached Minnesota, coached, of course, Detroit Pistons, and, at the age of 60, passing away at the age of 60. When I think of Flip Saunders, I think about what could have been with that Minnesota team with Garnett and Marbury had they stayed together. That's the first thing I thought about I thought about his career as a head coach. Yeah. Like, if Marbury stays there and you have those two guys to build around for the next 10 years, that could have been, it'd been very
interesting. Well, Marbury stays there and accepts Garnett being the man.
Right, no, yeah. Well, that's why, he left. He clearly was not going to, he wasn't going to accept that in any stretch of imagination. He couldn't deal with the fact that Garnett they had a young, just budding, could have been a special team. I don't know how many championships they could have won, but they definitely would have contended in the Western Conference for a long time. Regardless of that, he got Minnesota to the conference finals in 2004, with that Sprewell, Garnett, Sam Cassell team. Was that the last we heard of Sprewell after that team? I think that was the end of the Sprewell career after that. And he also, of course, led the Pistons back in 2008 to the conference finals, where they, of course, lost to the Boston Celtics. So Flip Saunders passed dead at the age of 60. A lot of questions in regards to the NBA in both conferences. We're going to begin with the Eastern Conference. And we're going to begin at the top, because we all know who the team to be in the Eastern Conference is. And that, of course, is the Cleveland Cavaliers, led by one LeBron James, who says he will play opening night tomorrow against Chicago, and Derrick Rose will play as well. Chicago comes out with a statement saying that Derrick Rose is not on a minutes restriction, which I don't understand, but anyway.
I understand.
We'll see about that. We'll see about that. The question about the Cleveland Cavaliers, if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know you clearly have the best team in the conference, one of the top five teams in the league. Do you go all out to get home court? Not so much in the Eastern Conference, because you don't have to go all out to get home court in the conference, but go all out to get home court throughout the playoffs. How do you balance that, home court and keeping guys healthy?
All right. I think you have to figure out just what's the biggest priority. And for me, and I think for Cleveland, it's just help being healthy. So wherever you lay, that's, I mean, talent-wise, they can match up with anybody, ultimately, when Kyrie's there and LeBron's there and Love and Thompson, J.R. Smith. So I'm worried about LeBron personally with this continued back situation he has. Kyrie, you know, he ain't going to be back. They say it's like January, February. And, Kevin Love, like, their stars are, the two of their three stars are kind of somewhat injury prone. So I think ultimately they just got to stay healthy. Just cruise through the season. LeBron, if y'all got four games in a week, you know what I mean, play two and a half, whatever. It's the regular season. It's 82 games. I think that's where we are in basketball. It's somewhere I had a problem with in the past where they rest so many players. But I think at this stage of his career, because he would be going to possibly his fifth finals in a row, right? Is that right, LeBron?
Six.
Yeah. You know what? When you've done that and been there so many times, the placement of the home court is not the biggest deal, the way I look at it. So just get there healthy. That's all.
Yep, couldn't agree more. It's health. It's absolutely 100% health. 8 seed, 7 seed, doesn't matter. Yeah, finals, home court, it just doesn't matter. If these guys can't be healthy throughout the playoffs, then it doesn't matter what number this seed is. So that's the main deal. LeBron James, that's very concerning. I was reading it and I was just like, wow, you know. I don't know, like, if it's specifically like looking at, you know, I guess the model for this would be the Spurs, is looking at like their plan and like how they go about. But I think not only is health primary, but it should be implemented as part of the year-long plan.
Yep.
So that people don't have to take a week off during the middle of the season. I'm out, deuces, you know, or 2 weeks off, whatever it was. So it's just like it is put in, and it's put in for all of them, for every single one of them, because they're all injury prone. Everybody. LeBron's back. So everybody's injury prone. Proceed at maximum caution. Put it as a year long plan, and be as healthy as possible going to the playoffs. Seed and be damned.
And let me just backtrack for 1 second. I think, I came in on the tail end of the opening when you're talking about Flip Saunders. And it honestly hit me hard, man. Never was the biggest Flip Saunders man, or what, I ain't got no Flip Saunders poster. Ernie Johnson, I listened to him speak, and he said one thing he'll really remember is just how he enjoyed life, man. And that's something you always got from Flip Saunders, that as much as he loved coaching, there was something more important to him. And realizing that this basketball thing is a gift, man. You're playing a game you love. You're coaching a game you love. And I know Rob can relate to this, all three of us, to have been affected with lymphoma indirectly in our family, to see that it does really take lives. It's a blessing that, you know what I mean, we haven't had that personal experience. But to know that you could have lost someone, of that. You know what I mean? It kind of puts things in perspective, which still ties into what we're ultimately saying with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, look, man, just get your health and play the game. You know what I mean? I think that's where we get back to basketball and the basics, man. Let's get to the point where people just enjoy the game. Like, I don't want to see – I thought – and I know we'll get into this. I don't want to, you know, go all over the place. But when I think about Kobe or Dwayne Wade, everybody just chill until you can really play. You know what I mean? We want to see you really play and enjoying yourself out on the court, not trying to will yourself out there and hurt. But anyway, I just wanted to say that because, you know, rest in peace, the flip side of that.
No question about it. Yeah, Cleveland has a number of injury issues with their big three. Ahmad Shumpert's not going to come, just don't be back till like January. He's out as well. Varejao always gets hurt. So it's not even a matter of if, it's a matter of when he's going to get
hurt.
Is he going to last 15 games, 20 games? I wouldn't even be concerned about, you know, and he hasn't gotten, he's still young, just on the contract. Tristan Thompson, I mean, no training camp. What kind of minutes can he play to start off? Like, you kind of want to ease him into the mix here. I'd be very careful in terms of how guys, I mean, I got these guys stay in shape year round. So conditioning shouldn't be a big thing, but, can't afford to lose
it
him.
Will be. He is no training camp, young, and a big contract. He's been eating.
Yes.
He's not in shape. He's not in shape. I'll tell you that.
No, he's not in, like, the kind of shape that, like, you know, mid-season form type.
I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him at all.
Here's the good thing, though. Because of the run they went on last year, everybody will be infinitely more patient than they were at the beginning last
year.
Such
a good point.
Everybody be like, like, it won't be as much as like a what's going on. Is Kevin Love leaving? Blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. Blah, blah, blah. You know, everybody will be infinitely more patient. So the plan will actually have time, if they do have a plan, will have time to come together without that intense pressure that they had last year.
Totally agree.
Good point. And ultimately, they play in the Eastern Conference.
You always got to go back to that. Yeah.
The plan, you have LeBron and you play in the Eastern Conference. Those are the two biggest things that they have going for them heading into this season. Cleveland clearly is a team to beat in the Eastern Conference. Who in your eyes is their biggest challenger?
I have two teams. I'm going to state the one that most people are looking to, and rightfully so, which is Miami. But as always, with just most of these teams, is a healthy Miami we're talking about. I'm talking about physically and mentally, because I told you I'm still not the fan of Whiteside. He's like the second coming to Sprewell. But if Miami is healthy and they are deep, Miami matches up very well. So I think that's Cleveland's biggest competition. But the other team I like is Milwaukee Bucks. I think they are a very interesting team. I think that's one of those teams where, as we talked about seeding not being a big deal, if, say, Milwaukee's 4 and Cleveland's 5, with 20 games left in the season, I go full throttle to find a way not to play Milwaukee first round. Because Jason Kidd's a great coach, and they're a really good defensive team. I feel like Milwaukee becomes the new Chicago. You know what I mean? You got these blue-collar workers and players. They're not going to kill you with offense, but just adding what's the cat's name? The center now. I can't think right now.
Craig Monroe.
Right. I think he adds a lot more to their game than most people think. So I think Milwaukee is a sneaky outside, you know, chance to really rival with Miami. I mean, not Cleveland.
You know what? I'm going to
Also the Knicks. Don't forget the Knicks. That's it.
Yeah.
It's Monday.
When you were saying the question, the thing that popped into my head is why not the Hawks? You know, like a second year under I'm blanking on the coach's name.
Budenholzer. Coach Bud.
Yes. a second year under the coach, under the kind of the Spurs of the East system. A healthy Al Horford. Do I think they will actually challenge the Cavaliers? I don't think anybody will actually challenge the Cavaliers. But I think I like the plan in place in Atlanta enough to say that they can replicate what they did last year. And maybe if they're healthy versus the Cavaliers, and who knows where the Cavaliers' health will be at that point, maybe that they'll be a contender. But they definitely will have a good record. They definitely will be high in the East. So why not the Hawks?
The Hawks?
That's
all you. That's fine. I mean, I think the Hawks, a lot of people are overlooking the Hawks. So the Hawks lost Amari Carroll. He was overpaid, of course, by Toronto, badly overpaid by Toronto. So, but they still have Bazemore, Cephalosha to kind of fill in that gap. Cephalosha, by the way, as a side note, is suing, and rightfully so, suing the NYC Police Department for $50 million for this situation that occurred where they broke his leg for basically for no reason. They get him back, and they'll get a.
Why are we talking
they
about
also
this?
Added. They also added a splitter.
Keep going, Terrell. Keep going.
This
go
is just disrespectful to your audience. You have to listen to this. This is very disrespectful to people's time and ears.
Says the Knicks fan.
Says the Knicks fan, exactly. Tiago Splitter, I think, is going to be an underrated pickup.
Oh, Lord. This is what I'm talking about, though. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Tiago Splitter and Cephalosha, no disrespect to either of those players, those great role players. This is what we're talking about right now.
Yes.
It's the East. This is what we're talking about.
What, 60 games?
The healthy Wizards would have beat the Hawks. If the Wizards were healthy last year.
A healthy Hawks? Hawks weren't healthy. They had
Cephalosha. They had David Richard Cephalosha. Tony Allen, 2.0. This is what happens when somebody goes. We make them bigger than they ever were. He's just a great glue guy. Don't get it twisted. But when he left, it was like, oh, man, if he was here, things would be different. No, listen. Yes. Instead of 89 points, they would have scored 86, I guess, or 82.
The splitter move allows him to do. It allows him to move Horford to his natural position, where he is the four. So Horford can go to his four. Splitter can play the five if they choose. Do that.
Boom.
That's a
bam.
Break it down.
Hold on.
I'm thinking the Hawks are championship team.
Let's do this.
How about that? Here we go.
Okay. So this is the problem.
I'm calling 70 wins.
Let the record
sweep through the playoffs.
Healthy
Hawks. Tiago Splitter will be the best five in the league. Boom. Break it down, Rick.
This is what I'm talking about. When the Hawks were winning last year, and I told you, I was the only one not on that bandwagon. I said at the end of the day.
Nobody was on that bandwagon,
Chad.
Who's
on that bandwagon? Surreal knows he was on it. He ain't going to say it right now. Surreal knows.
I can't.
Stay quiet.
Okay. I can't speak for Surreal. I was not on that
bandwagon. His silence has spoken for him. His silence has spoken for him. Okay. So this is what I'm saying. Regardless of how you switch them, we saw this in the playoffs. The Hawks do not know who to give the ball to in the fourth quarter. Jeff Teague is who we thought he is. He's really good. He's probably better than he thinks, but he's not that assertive. And you have a lot of really good, not that assertive players on the Hawks. So when people compare them to the Spurs, we keep forgetting the Spurs still had Hall of Famers. Yeah. That's never going to change. None of these Hawks are ever going to be Hall of Famers. So there's times when everyone moved out the way for Duncan, then Duncan got older. Then he moved out the way for Tony Parker. Oh, by the way, they didn't have just the big three. Then they came and got Kawhi Leonard, who's going to be a superstar. So, if not already a superstar. So, once again, when we compare them to the Spurs, we really have to break that down. So, I think they'll be one of those teams that can easily win 50, 55 games in the East.
Yeah.
Because they're going to beat
that's
you
what we're
by
saying.
Simply.
And that's what we're saying.
Yeah, no, we're talking about, we're talking we're about this. You said who can rival Cleveland ultimately. That's what the question was. What I'm saying
they're
is, yeah, can
the
they win?
Can they, I didn't say they can beat. I didn't say they will beat Cleveland. I said that they should be mentioned amongst the team who can rival Cleveland. I think that was the question.
When I look at the word rival, I'm thinking that they have a chance in a series against them. Right? That's the way I'm really breaking down rival. That they have a chance.
I thought I said that Cleveland was clearly the team to beat in the Eastern Conference, and that who could be the like the number two team like to challenge them.
So really,
possibly challenge
I heard
them.
The question. I just want to be as a well-prepared guest who regularly is on time.
Here we go.
Interpret the question as it was stated.
Oh, you know,
I did not bring any of my personal biases to the question.
Somebody with a life.
I just
want to
make that clear.
I feel like this is a personal sabotage. This is going to continue all night. But that shine,
but
that second man.
Ultimately, my answer to my own question is the team I think that has the best chance to possibly beat Cleveland would be Miami.
Okay,
I think Miami. Yes, that would be my that's who I say. I think Hawks are very good, but I think Miami, the championship pedigree. And they have an ace in their hole as far as a trade possibility. I'll get to that a little later. But they have an ace in their hole, which could possibly.
Ooh, nice piece.
So I got a little nugget.
Good.
Paul George playing the four. First of all, what do we think about that? Should he be playing the four? That's what are our thoughts on that? Indiana wants to speed up the game. They want to go more, high tempo, up tempo. They want to push the ball. They want to shoot threes, see who they got rid of. How we feel about Paul George at that four spot?
I'll be really brief on this. Copycat league, right?
Yep.
Who won the championship?
Right.
Golden State won the championship. Uh-huh. People saw how they won going small. The teams that are searching, and this again says to me that Indiana's searching for an identity. So the teams that are searching for an identity will go, oh, that's what won. Let's copy that. So that's just my simple answer.
And I won't be that long either because you broke it down beautifully, right? Kind of like what I was saying about the Hawks and Spurs analogy. Copycat league, right? But to copycat, you got to have the same pieces. And most teams don't have a Draymond Green. I got to make sure I say this the right way. Paul George is not Draymond Green.
No, he's definitely
a player. Paul George is a superstar, an all-star. But he's not the type to shoot, spot up for threes, bang with everyone else. He can't do any of that stuff. So, to Rob's point, it's one of those things that Indiana's going to just really be searching all year. And also, when you got someone who's injury prone and you're going to make him bang with other power forwards, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
Yeah. So. Bad idea for Indiana Pacers.
I think it depends on how many minutes you play him at the four. Now they're talking about, of course, starting him at the four. See, I don't see the power forwards in the Eastern Conference. So I think that they could, like in the Western Conference, even have no chance of this. I actually think they could actually get away with it being in the Eastern Conference because I just don't see the fours in the Eastern Conference who are just drop dead low post players. I mean, Al Jefferson's the center. I'm trying to go through them now. You know, you got Chicago. Chicago probably has about a third of the post up players in the Eastern Conference. They have all the Chicago has all the big. I mean, Drummond. I mean, does he have a post up game like that right now? He's a, you know, I'm just trying to go through some players, to go through some power forwards in the Eastern Conference. Who's the Knicks power forward? Who got power forward?
Mello.
Mello, okay, right, exactly. So he can
match
up. Yeah,
Mello's not power
forward. Yeah. So I just, like, I think they can get away with it, but I would be careful. I wouldn't make a steady diet of it as far as it, in terms of wearing.
And first of all, he can't match up with Mello anyway. He can't match up with Mello.
He absolutely can't match up with Mello. You know this.
No, you're losing it. Mello, Mello loves playing big ball.
Like, he does match up with Mello. I ain't saying just stop. Here you go. You can just bias Knicks fans. He does match up with Mello. Can he stop Mello? No, one-on-one. Nobody can stop Mello one-on-one. We get it.
I want to know what school you went to, because the word usage tonight is throwing me off. When you say that he can match up with him, can he – play
you
the
can,
same
yes,
position.
Yeah, you can play him on one on one against Carmelo.
He can guard him in the post.
Yes, absolutely.
He can guard Mello.
Yes, wow. He can.
Okay.
Yes. Where's Mello? Tim Duncan now? Come on, man. Oh, y'all Knicks fans. I wasn't even gonna get on.
Listen, I know. Listen, one thing I know about the Knicks. I'm very, very aware. No. We lose this. Okay. But I still know my players. And I know what they can do and where their strengths are. His strength is
yes,
in the post
post
against a smaller body.
Paul George can match up with Carmelo Anthony. They can put Paul George on Carmelo Anthony and be very comfortable with that matchup. Very comfortable.
Wow. Okay. We'll see, I guess. We'll see. Because he is playing power forward, so like I just have to wait.
They're going to match up.
I can't wait. I promise you. I don't care what night the Knicks and Pacers play. We got to wait to see if they show it on TV. But please, let's do a live broadcast. I'm going over your house. I don't care where you can find this game. Play by play.
I was going to say, y'all should Periscope, like, the game.
Yes.
and broadcast that live to your viewers.
Yep. And, Rob, I want you to be the analytics man for that night.
You
say
really
every time Mello and Paul George matched up. I want those breakdown numbers to be revealed on the show. You said comfortably. Okay.
They will have Mello, Paul George playing against Carmelo Anthony. That's my point. He can match up with Carmelo Anthony.
Okay.
So you're making it seem like he has no business guarding him. Are you giving me that point of view? Like he won't.
The point is still it wasn't a personal attack, a personal competition between those two. But that Mello is an example of why I think it's bad for them to try to have him playing power forward. Once again, Draymond Green is a totally different monster with a big body that can bang like that with those LeBrons and Mellos or whatever. I don't think – because people got to think about the endurance it takes. One side of the court, you're running up and down and you're shooting threes. Then on defense, you got to come back because Mello's, you know, a triple threat. So I'm thinking, like, when he gets you in the post, Paul George is just too small, man. I don't have enough evidence of him playing in the post like that to say that I think he would be able to hold him or hold his own. And not just saying Mello. I said there's other power forwards that aren't even as good as Mello. I'm just talking about from a side. After a while, that wear and tear, you ain't got to be the best big man, but if you keep backing down a smaller body, it's going to give if that's not your strength. That's all. So, you know. But so, I
cannot wait either. It should be very interesting to watch. The Chicago Bulls has the window closed. They are going to apparently start Gasol and Mirotic, have Noah and Gibson come off the bench. Noah in particular, Gibson always comes off the bench, of course. So they're trying to kickstart the offense, have some more, make Mirotić into a stretch four, use Gasol's passing ability to, you know, run the offense through, and have Noah come off the bench. A lot of subplots for this because Noah's on a contract year. He's also coming off a year where he was banged up. Very interesting. He's saying all the right things right now, but you got the mayor, Fred Hoiberg, coming in, trying to jumpstart the offense. First part, though, is the Chicago window closed?
Hey, Rob, you go.
Okay, yes. and it's actually been closed for quite a while now. I think it was only open for like a year. What's interesting about this coaching change, because like in my head, I'm like, it's really challenging, if not impossible, to win a championship with the new head coach. But I can't completely say impossible because, of course, Steve Kerr just did it. But
right.
The difference being is that Kerr was coming in to elevate what was already there. What you're seeing
right.
with Chicago is a shift of identity. And that's even if, like, let's say Derrick Rose is 100%, just 100%, like stuff didn't ever happen. And, him and Gibson, wait, not Gibson, who am I thinking of?
Jimmy Butler.
Butler, thanks.
Jimmy Butler.
Him and Butler were on the same page, and they were boys, and they loved each other, and Gasol was rocking it out. Even if all that was, like, clicking on 100%, and you bring a coach in to change the identity of your team, I would still say that is such a hard thing to do on the run. So we know all those other things aren't clicking. Like, all that isn't. Rose, everybody knows about Rose. It's not even – I won't even talk about it unless you guys talk about it. But, that issue, I think it'll be interesting. Like, I read that Joakim Noah coming off the bench. Oof, it'll be interesting to see how that plays itself out over the year. But I think not only are they depleted talent-wise in terms of the consistency with which their stars can play at a high level, but the changing of their identity, going from defensive to offensive, I think will be a really tough road to transition throughout the season and have reasonable championship aspirations.
Yeah. No.
So you
think the defense will suffer behind trying to upgrade their offense?
I think they're trying to shift their identity. I mean, ideally, of course, as a coach in an organization, you obviously want to do both well. I think from being such a defensive-minded team, I think having one identity for so long to transition to a different style will be challenging. I think ideally, yes, they want to be good offensively and good defensively. I think that transition will take a while. As a matter of fact, I think it'll take a few years to get to the point where they want to be. And I just don't think it's reasonable to have championship aspirations as you are that much in flux.
Let me use an example to your point. I remember when San Antonio had went through their transition. So they go from straight post-ups with Tim Duncan and defensive-minded team, and then try to transition to this offensive, move the ball, pace and space, three-point shooting team. And we're talking about one of the best organizations in sports, not just the NBA. And it took them 4 to 5 years to get through to really fulfill that transition before they won a championship game again in 2014. So,
to get the right personnel,
to get
the different mind, you just...
Right.
Just to do all of the things that you want to do at the level that you want to do. It just takes time.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah.
Hello? Yeah.
Chad.
No, I'm sorry. No, I agree with what you're saying. I think just to piggyback off what Rob's saying about the identity, I was watching Open Court, and I think Isaiah, it was interesting what he said, and I agree with him completely. He's talking about the Bulls, and he said Tibbs was the leader. He said it wasn't Derrick Rose ever, or no, it was Tibbs. And you have a culture change and philosophy change as it relates to defense versus offense, but also now that you don't have a leader, who's the leader? And that only amplifies the tension between Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose. No one knows whose team Chicago Bulls is. You really don't know. Because what Rob said, even if you have a Derrick Rose at 100%, yada, 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 he said that because subconsciously, none of us on this phone believe Derrick Rose at 100%, the old Derrick Rose anyway. Like, I feel like if he gets through the season healthy, he's still, I don't want to say a shell of himself, but he's still not the MVP Derrick Rose anyway. So I can't, I don't see that guy anymore. You know what I mean? Of course, until it happens, but I just don't see that guy being on the court night in, night out. Now, if he does that, the conversation changes. But I say all that to say, if he gives you 20, 22 points and he's still an all-star, Jimmy Butler said, I can get you 20, 22 and be an all-star as well. And I'm healthier than you. So I think that it's going to be a very interesting situation because, to your point about Steve Kerr, what he inherited a very smooth job, and not taking anything away from him, but also a team that really already liked each other. Like, besides the X's and O's, it's chemistry. Mm-hmm. And although both people, Rose and Butler, have said, oh, it's nothing, it's just, it feels like everyone keeps saying it's nothing. So, God, it must be something. But why would we keep saying it's nothing? So it's like, ooh, this could be very toxic. Not saying it will be, but depending on, because that's why Phil Jackson was such a mastermind, because he knew how to manage personality. And I think part of Hoiberg's biggest job is going to be what he does off the court. You know, smoothing things over with Noah, who's not starting. Like, is Noah going to be like Barnes, who accepted the role? Mind you, they were in two different places in their career. So it's just really going to be interesting how he has to teeter the fence with the handling of personnel.
Yeah, the window's closed. I think that they just have too many things going on. Transition, they're trying to, you know, change your identity, basically, like you say, on the fly. You have a guy who's never coached NBA basketball, you know, had obviously a successful college career. You have the odds are still against it, despite what Steve Kerr, to me, was the outlier. A guy, and Steve Kerr, again, learned from two of the greatest of all time in Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich, and also was a general manager. So he had NBA pedigree that most of these college coaches can't even approach. And I think that the Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler thing is real. Like, I'm just looking at it from a Jimmy Butler standpoint. Like, dude, I'm better than you. So why are we still pretending why? This is not 2012, not 2011. It's 2015. I'm a better player than you. We should, this is not your franchise anymore. That's my mindset. So I think there is something with that. And I think Jimmy Butler understands,
yeah,
realizes,
you,
and knows that.
I guarantee.
And those players
you,
that locker room, those players that locker room know that.
No, but think about this. Think about this. Derrick Rose has got hurt more than enough time for us to have evidence to show that he has never come across as the player that rushes back. You know what I mean? I don't care if he had like a common cold. He's never come across as like, ooh, let me hurry up and get back to my boys. And that's been documented. thing how we are in life. Like, when you know, but there's urgency. Oh, they got a new man in town. Oh, I'll put that mask on. Get that mask on. I'm ready to play. All of a sudden, Derrick Rose can't wait to play again.
Yep.
He can't wait to suit up. I'll be there. No minute restrictions. I'm there. Over the night. I'm like, who is this guy? But it's that fear. Like, God forbid, he don't play. They win. No one cares. Jimmy Butler scores 30. You know what I mean? Because Jimmy Butler, his numbers were pre-Derrick Rose last year. He was a MVP candidate for a little while. Like, he was, like, really up there doing
the first
his thing.
3 months. Yeah, first 3 months of the season.
Doing his thing.
Top five MVP candidate.
Yeah. Very interesting stuff that I'm going to be looking at.
I hate to end the East like this, but I have to because I just can't. I cannot lead them out of it.
Yeah.
Hey,
you do it.
The Sixers.
Go.
The Philadelphia 76ers.
That's your team. That's your team.
Oh, that's my team. Philly. Temple ranked 21.
Just how many years did you get in the second round? You said they were going in the right direction.
I thought that by year 10, they would took.
By year 10, they would have 40 wins.
Oh, the Sixers.
By year 10.
Here's the Sixers starting lineup. Oh, Isaiah Cannon, Nick Stauskas, Robert Covington, Nerlens Noel, and Duke Joel Okafor, who still is.
And they already say his conditioning looks suspect right now. That's what I'm hearing.
You don't want to play. Why?
No, he doesn't want to play. Who would you want to play? Who's your point guard? Who's giving him the ball? Who's giving him the ball?
Yo, can we admit this dude is stealing money at this point?
Yeah.
He has the best scam in the world.
Yes.
And it's right in front of everybody's faces. And the best part that makes it such a great scam is that he has people who actually defend it. It's beautiful.
Yep. Yeah.
Man, how did he do this? Like,
I will
destroy your team every year. You will lose. You'll be at the bottom every year, and it's great. Like, yo, he's either the genius or the devil, right? Like, how do you do that?
He makes everything so simple. He says things so simply that it's brilliant. You'd be like, so what's your plan next year? To lose some more and get draft picks. Oh, okay. Sorry for bothering you. That's it. There's nothing else to say. I plan on losing again and looking at the top five draft picks. And we also got, we could get some more second round picks if we play it right.
Let's do that.
And then one year we will get lucky. His whole goal that he's telling people on, we're going to find the next LeBron James.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Somebody said, well, you know, on the pace they're on, LeBron's son is only like 13, so maybe LeBron's son will be that next guy.
He's waiting out the veterans' kids.
Yo, listen, because you think about this. Somebody not to educate, but listen, I know you don't believe what I'm saying, but think about, listen, no one likes the word rebuild. If we really draft smart, get some good free agents, make some smart, you know, his decisions in off season, it still will take us like 6-7 years. I say, let's just roll the dice every year. Give me 7 years to find Anthony Davis or LeBron James. I mean, when you're relying on Jason Richardson, like when Jason Richardson was like, I got to start. Like, I just came here to like the you know, coach the older players during halftime. You had me playing minutes. Like, Jason Richardson was at the tail end of his career playing, like, 28, 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
That whole situation is horrible.
Why am I playing?
Exactly. I feel horrible for, oh, my goodness. They did.
Michael Carter-Williams, the biggest favor in the world by getting rid of that.
I have not seen this dude not smile in one interview yet. Like, he's just elated. I mean, but listen, but that goes back to, and we joke about this, but certain teams will always just be losers because of their culture. MCW, this dude found out on draft night they drafted another point guard. They came to him right after. He was like, I don't know what that means.
Yep.
Like, there's no kind of communication. They just doing whatever out there, man.
And that's why, like, I was saying that on when we were doing the NFL podcast, but it's like, yep, you know, we talk about coaches, we talk about players, and that's fun, and it's fodder, and it's like, that's the large noise. But you know, there are just very few championship organizations, and it starts with the organization, it starts with ownership, it starts with upper management. And you're absolutely right. Like, it just is. Like, and as a fan, you just have to get delusional just to survive, just to exist in the world, you know, on a daily basis and root for your team. But when we're all, for the majority of us who are with those franchises that just are who they are, you know, it's just like, yep, this is why we don't have a chance.
No.
We don't have a chance.
The wrestling game yesterday, and my father-in-law was like, oh, we should have put Tampa should win this by now. I said, don't you understand? They don't know how to win. This is not the greatest comeback in history. Look what they're playing. Two teams are like, playing hot potato. Like, oh. You know, they have no idea how to win. It's right there, and it's because of the culture. It's the culture, man. The Sixers wouldn't even know. The Sixers would get LeBron James and not even know it and end up trading. They wouldn't even know what to do with him, LeBron James.
That right there is actually the important key to all this, right? Like, it's like, let's just get this ready-made, amazing, yep, talented player, you know. And in basketball, it can definitely be more clear. I'm not debating that at all. But there is development that goes into that process. And so, there, for all the bill of goods that he's selling, even around that mirage of just like, oh, wait it out. There, you get, you know, I'll get you the next LeBron. Well, who's to say when they get the next LeBron, when they get whatever, if that would ever happen, that, you know, they don't ruin him. And I think, like, that is, like, to me, if I am being objective in that organization or in the media around there, that's the question that I'm asking. Is like, all right, so you are clearly stating that everybody that you draft is either super talented or a bum. What is your track record in terms of developing players? And can you develop a player? And if we even get a player, will that player be successful here?
Yep. Yeah.
All right, I'm done.
Sixer fans, just, you know, keep the faith.
Stay delusional. I don't even blame them. Just stay delusional.
Stay delusional.
You just got to exist. You just have to exist. What can you do? Right. Can't do anything. Just be. just live. Live your life, Sixer fans. I'm not mad at you. Do what you have to do to survive.
As we transition to the Western Conference, again, the Western Conference is just absolutely loaded as it has ever, as it's ever been, in terms of from top to bottom. The Golden State Warriors, do they go into this year as the team to beat in the West?
Wow, the team to beat. It's a great question because on the surface, it's like you wanted to say, of course, because it's disrespectful to say other. You know what I mean? But, you know what? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes with an asterisk because I think on paper, they do have the same team. They're healthy. I'm hearing great things about Curry even taking his game to another level, if that's possible. But everything in my gut is just saying you still got the Spurs, who now have Aldridge and David West. So the Spurs are the scariest team to me in the West. That's just me, though.
When you said that, that just literally was terrifying to hear. Just yeah. saying it out loud. Yeah. I was just like, wow. Yeah. Yeah, man. Just survival of the fittest, you know. Just that is the deal with the West. I mean, between the Clippers and the Spurs and Golden State, you know, and the possibility of OKC, you know, and I know I'm forgetting two more teams that's just not popping into my head right now. But, I want to say Golden State. I do want to say Golden State. But there's no confidence in my voice in it. I think the margin is so razor thin that it will of course be the factors we can't determine right now that will decide it. But if the thing that would just give the slightest of edge to Golden State would be consistency of team chemistry being there, you know, hopefully being able to take, you know, get even more out of each other as the year goes by. But yeah, that would be all that I have. Because that is terrifying. The Spurs are terrifying. They're terrifying. Wow.
I still say Golden State. Out of all these teams, they have, to me, the least amount of question marks out of all these teams, including the Spurs. And I have a couple question marks about the Spurs, even with Aldridge.
Okay.
I think that they, you know.
And West.
And David West, yeah.
And West, yes. And David West, yes. I think that they bringing back everybody knowing how to win at such a young age, in terms of knowing how to win, learning how to win at such a young age. I think that experience, once you get over that hump, I think that's something that just doesn't go away. I think that they, you know, I definitely feel like they feel the lack of respect that's coming at them, as far as people saying, hey, you were lucky you're healthy, this and that team coming at them, you know. So I think that is providing a chip on their shoulder, especially with Curry. You know, he's starting to take that personally. He's a clear leader of that team. And I think their young players can actually get better. Like, I think Curry's in his prime right now, but Klay Thompson can get better. They have guys like Harrison Barnes. Those guys can still get better. Even Draymond Green is still only like 25. So I think they're on the upswing. I think that there's, you know, they can be as scary as it may sound. It may not produce in terms of wins. They might not match their win total because the conference is that much deep, but they can actually be a better team this year than they were last year. Getting to the Spurs. Of course, they had the biggest acquisition of any team last season in LaMarcus Aldridge. They add David West as well. They lose Thiago Splitter. They lose Bettinelli. They lose Corey Joseph. My questions about the Spurs would be style of play. Before Aldridge gets there, they'll move the ball, pace and space. I think the ball, you know, the average seconds the ball was in each other's hands, like 3 seconds, something just ridiculous. So not running post-ups, you know, Tim Duncan doesn't post up that much. There's nowhere, you know, they don't run the offense through him anymore. Still post up, but not they don't run the offense through him like that, like they did in early in his career when he was in his prime. you know, peak Tim Duncan. Now the adjustment of having a guy who, in Aldridge, who you're going to run the post-ups through. So that adjustment, as well as the front court depth, splitter, you know, laugh at him if you want, took a lot of heat off Duncan defensively, minutes. Now I'm looking at that front court. Wes is old. You have Aldridge and Thoris Diaw is old. So
can I just say this has become, wait, really quick. Can I just say this has become a pro Tiago splitter podcast right now?
It really has.
And we are not established that. We are pro Tiago splitter. When you are tagging this, make sure it's like, we love Tiago splitter. Any takeaway anybody has from this is that Tiago splitter.
His sleeper free agent pick was Tiago Splitter.
Oh, man. That's
the most underappreciated free agent.
Tiago Splitter has never got as much burn as he has.
I think he's listening in right now. Some real made a deal. Like, Tiago, you listening in? I'll mention you as much as I can.
I want the tickets when y'all play Wizards. I want them tickets.
Yeah.
Tiago, no tickets. Atlanta Wizards. But the lack of depth in the front court, also Parker and Ginobili. The age of Parker and Ginobili. What are your overall thoughts about that transition from, you know, how do you think Aldridge will fit into the Spurs? That's the most important question, I think.
Okay, I'll be quick here because Greg Popovich is the master of adjustments. We forget this hold the ball less than 3 seconds. That was an adjustment to the Tim Duncan, David Robinson era. He's the master looking at his personnel and figuring out how to best utilize them. So I have zero concerns about their ability to get the best out of who they have and transition into any style of play, only because of the culture and the coach they have, which are related. Somebody else, like kind of like what we're saying with the Fred Hoiberg. When you get a rookie coach, some of the stuff that you talked about, yeah, fair enough. But Popovich, no. He grooms people and picks people not based off of their name, based off how he already envisions utilizing them. You know what I mean? They didn't want Aldridge because Aldridge is a sexy name to have. He's like, he's going to have fun with Aldridge. I'm not saying this in month one, but by April, the Spurs will be right there. I think the other thing that you can't discount is that kind of like what we're looking at Peyton Manning, when Father Time kicks in, at first there's this transition of stubbornness where you don't believe it and you still think you can do everything you want to do. And then it's an adjustment period. I feel like that stubbornness last year showed the most on Tony Parker. He had a huge drop down in his ability to be effective. I think now what happens, the team, because the Spurs are so smooth. Each year, if you notice, it's gradually more and more becoming Kawhi Leonard's team. Just like very subtle moves they're doing. I think that they have everything in place. So when you talk about front court and you call David West old, David West, listen, David West is going to play 15, 20 minutes tops. He's going to bang, he's going to shoot the open J, and he's going to be perfect for that system. Like I said, you know, the Spurs, and that's why I was so curious when you said I got a few concerns. I'm like, what are these concerns? I was so waiting to hear what you had. And if those are your only concerns, once again, they look just as scary as I initially stated, because I don't see anything that makes me say the Spurs aren't going to be right there at the top every year. And the reason is, and the last thing I'll say is, I'm so tired. This is 2 years in a row where I've been with the Spurs. But I had to learn from my past mistakes. The Spurs have been old forever. They're like the Morgan Freeman of the league. Like, so fans, you know, Tony Parker and Ginobili and Duncan, they're getting old. We say that every year. Every year. and they still are doing. They're just.
I'm actually not concerned. I'm actually not concerned about Duncan. I'm concerned about Parker. I would have major concerns about Parker and Ginobili. I'm not concerned about
right.
Duncan.
I think the thing is with the Spurs, it's all about efficiency.
Yeah.
Parker still ain't gonna average more than 25 minutes a game. Like they're just gonna be. This is like the first year. This is the first year he elected not to play in the Olympics or something. During the international games or whatever. Because I think they have a really understanding, like, oh, yeah, I really am getting old. You know what I mean? So no concerns with me, man. Popovich, I'm completely – I think he's the best, and I know that he knows exactly what he's doing. So I think you won't see the Spurs completely assimilated with the new roster until, you know, at the All-Star break. But then it's going to be scary what they do with that team.
Yeah, just to piggyback, and I think, like, it's – we can't have it both ways, right? Like, we can't say organizationally there are organizations that are flawed, and that's why they are perennial losers, and then look at the Spurs and go, we can't look at their – you know, their track record of success, right? Like, so it's just organizationally, they are so sound and so far ahead of everybody on everything that they do that, you know, the thing, like, you know, piggybacking off what Chad said, they're old. So what? Like, they've always been old. They've been old forever. None of that matters because they have a plan. They have a plan to deal with everything. And at a certain point in time, you know, and I was thinking about this today, like, y'all got me all goosed up on the Patriots and getting all, like, angry and indignant. They had beaten me down years ago, and I was very happy in my space of just being fine with how fantastic they are and going about my life. Then y'all got me all amped up, and now I'm feeling this pain and hurt again as I realize how unstoppable they are, which drives me crazy. But anyway, so I say that to say you have organization that just has a track record of success, and that's what you have to lead with first until you see something different. And so I have to see something different before I have concerns about the Spurs. Otherwise, the Spurs are the Spurs, and they're going to be fantastic, unless proven otherwise. Done.
OKC. Can a healthy OKC win the championship?
No.
You don't think a healthy OKC can win it?
I'll go with it. Because we live in this world of ands and ifs and maybes and the track record says that ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like that's what I have to live with, right? Like yeah, it's nice if we live in this fantasy world with Derrick Rose gets back to MVP form, blah, blah, blah. No, stop it, people. Stop it. Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It, track record says it's not going to happen. And combined with, you know, is Kevin Durant going to leave? Is Westbrook going to leave in a year? Combined with a brand new head coach? No, stop. Like, no. It's unless I hear long-term commitments from Westbrook and Durant, I can't even envision that. Like, I'm done with thinking of Oklahoma City as a championship organization. Like, it's a wrap. And you know that is what it is. But like, you know, I can't live in that space where, or think of that space where, oh, everybody's going to be, you know, all good and da da da. Track record says no. Too many variables coming in. there's no way with the teams that are in the West that I can even go there with them. So, no.
Yeah, I think to Rob's point, I just don't believe it because OKC, for whatever reason, you know, you get a team like this once a decade or maybe a couple times where it's always
Orlando
like, man.
Magic.
Huh?
Orlando Magic, 94.
Yeah, where you're like, man, if they had did this. Or,
yep.
And I feel like something's just going to happen. Like they have a black cloud about them where something's going to happen. Now, to your point, Cyril, our question, if they're completely healthy, they, to me, are just the scariest team in the league where I'm not as concerned with Rob about a new coach with Westbrook and Durant. If they're healthy with that whole team, they match up with anybody, and they can scare anybody. I just don't buy the health. I just don't. And I don't want to speak that against Durant or Westbrook necessarily or Ibaka, but something's going to happen. It just is. It happens every year, OKC, so I'm not buying it. That's it.
I think Oklahoma City could beat anybody. I think will I predict them to win it? That's a different story, but I think they can beat anybody in the league. Houston or the Clippers, which team should –
Wait, really quickly.
Yes.
Now I have to go in with what? So when you say I think they can beat anybody in the league,
well,
are
no,
we talking
I know
on a night-to-night basis? Right,
no,
exactly.
No, no, no.
Or over a sustained playoff run, seven-game series.
Yes, I think they can win a championship. I'm talking about the regular season. Of course, anybody could be anybody in the regular season. I'm talking about a championship. Yeah, I think they can win a championship.
I have a hard time envisioning that. I really do. All right, sorry.
Houston or the Clippers, which team should you be more – which team do you like more? Like, which team is a contender out of those two?
Dang, I don't like either team, but yeah, I really don't. I think ultimately
– the greatest collapse in NBA history? How could you not like that? That train wreck.
Yeah. This is the only reason I like the Clippers more. Well, it's two reasons. Ultimately, out of all the stars on both teams, Chris Paul's my man.
Right.
Over James Harden. But even with that said, the biggest reason I like the Clippers more is because they might have got the best acquisition this offseason by getting Paul Pierce. Because I feel like he was what was missing. The Clippers have a can't-get-right mentality. And they needed someone calm, who's one, who just knows what to do, who won't look like a deer in the headlights. So as much as I like James Harden, Dwight Howard's not a leader. He's having his own back issues. We don't know how efficient he's going to be. So Houston's going to be a fun team to watch during the regular season, and that's about it. And they'll make the playoffs and everything, but they'll be where they are.
Houston is a deep team. They have two or three deep at every position.
You said what?
I said they're deep at every position.
Oh, and that's the other thing that why, although we're picking a lesser of two evils here, why I'm not in love with the Clippers is because they're going to have too much pressure on them because they're too good on paper. Like, the Clippers are just ridiculously deep, where they have, like, two starting lineups. I don't think they know what to do with all of that. So, Spurs, Golden State, and OKC for me outside if they're healthy. That's it.
I'll be super short. You can't believe in Dwight Howard. And you can't believe in the Clippers. I refuse to pick any team that has Lance Stevenson on their team. So, done.
Lance to make them dance. Lance to make them dance.
Yeah, I think, like I said, if Stevenson was there without Paul Pierce, I'd be more worried. But I hear you. He might get cut. He might end up getting cut before the season's out. I'm not worried about Lance Stevenson.
in Christmas, by Christmas, he might get cut.
Right.
Y'all forgot to mention the biggest reason why you shouldn't be high on Houston. You got to mention the biggest reason. This might be insensitive. I'm going to say it anyway. James Harden is dating a Kardashian. Yeah, I mean, just...
That is such poor taste. No poor taste alert. No. I can't believe you even went there.
Is that not the kiss of death, though? Of dating a Kardashian? Is that, come on, man. How far in life can you go dating a Kardashian? How far can you...
No comment. I'm just going to no comment.
Yeah, I believe that. I'm not even saying that.
No comment. So I got
no comment.
So Houston, you have a problem. These are two teams that are very entertaining, though. They're both going to get up down the floor. I think Blake is going to have an MVP caliber season. I loved his progress in the playoffs last year. Went toe to toe with Duncan. It'll be very two entertaining teams, but like I said, I think we all agree that we don't trust either one of them based on just personalities, culture, track record. The Clippers are still the Clippers, and what have you. Who retires this year? Which one? Give me the guy who's more likely to retire after this year. Kobe or Tim Duncan?
Oh. Let me think about that for a second. That's a good one.
Who retires? You know what? I'll say Tim Duncan because I think if they win another championship, he has the likelihood to ride off in the sunset on one more. This is how I'm answering the question. Because his team has because his team has the most likelihood to win a championship between the two teams, I believe he will if his team wins the championship, he would ride off into the sunset. So that's the delineation that I have.
Okay.
Well, the answer is I don't think either one will retire after this season.
Right.
Particularly if they don't win a championship. I don't think either one is going to go. I think if the Lakers had a chance to win a championship and they won a championship, Kobe's right off into the sunset.
This is a difficult one for me because I'm all with Rob on the storyline of Tim Duncan winning and graciously bowing down and passing the torch to Aldridge.
Yes.
But I think at the same time, Kobe being my favorite player as well, if he experiences another season-ending injury, I think he kind of just goes out. I think he does. It's hard to say that because I hope it doesn't happen. But if it does happen, maybe that's me wanting him to, but I think if he, if Kobe has another injury like that big, I think he goes out. Because I can see, it's hard to see when Tim Duncan would quit because Tim Duncan is one of those players that Tim Duncan basically is showcasing Reggie Miller, the Karl Malones, all of the great players that were great minds. What would happen if I just stayed in the league? Like this, the basketball IQ is so low for the majority of players today that some of the greats that they stayed in shape, they could still be averaging 13 to 14 points. And that's Tim Duncan. I can see Tim Duncan averaging 14 and 8 for another 4 years just based off his IQ and just staying in decent conditioning or whatever. So I'm going to say
Because I can see both things happening. I can see the Spurs winning, and I can see Kobe getting hurt. It would be fitting for them to go out together. So that's what I'll say. I'll say Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant retire same year. Finance.
Yep. Does Anthony Davis win the MVP this year?
Wait, you didn't answer the question.
Oh, I have.
That's what I'm waiting for.
I don't know. I don't know. I think if Kobe's healthy. No, I do know. I don't know.
Okay.
If Kobe's healthy, if Kobe doesn't have a season-ended injury, he will come back for another year, and it will not be in a Laker uniform. That's my prediction. Tim Duncan.
I like it.
Will play one more year. He will play one more year because I still think he's at an all-NBA type level, amazingly, as a big man. So, ultimately, I think they both play another, at least one more year. Does Anthony Davis win the MVP this year?
Yes. Yes. This is his year. This is his year. I mean, I don't know why. They're trying to turn him into the Terminator because they're talking about he's working on three-point shot now. Like, well, for what? This is just ridiculous what they're trying to make this man into. But I think that he wins the MVP for a number of reasons. I think it's the only competition. Well, no, he has two people that I see. I could see Steph, and I could see KD, you know, coming back, showing people what they're missing. But ultimately, I think KD still splits so much of the spotlight with Westbrook.
With Westbrook. Mm-hmm.
The KD gets the comeback player of the year, definitely. But Anthony Davis, I could see him winning MVP and defensive player this year. I just think he's going to average and be efficient. Something ridiculous. Maybe like 28, 12, and 4 blocks or something crazy. But I don't see anyone stopping him but himself from being that MVP.
Yep, agreed. Yeah.
How many
it's
games?
Davis. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
It's Davis
okay.
And, yeah.
Steph, KD. I don't think he wins it. I don't think they're gonna win enough games. To be honest with you, they already have some injuries. Tyreek Evans is hurt right now. That's a big loss for them. They got a couple other guys that are banged up. I think they have a chance to go to. They have a brutal schedule to start off. I think he'll have an MVP caliber year. But I think KD comes back with a vengeance. That's my prediction for MVP. Kevin Durant. LeBron's going to rest so many games, so he's not. He's going to take himself out.
Yeah.
So I can see him, you know, his minutes, numbers and minutes coming down a bit, just enough to allow others to get in. So I see KD, Anthony Davis. KD, Steph, and Anthony Davis would be my top three as far as MVPs go.
Who is your third person? KD, Anthony Davis, and who
else? And Steph. KD.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
KD,
yeah.
Steph, and Anthony Davis in that order.
KD, oh, you said Davis number three?
Davis.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I think the Western Conference is just that, like.
Well, he's not going to win enough games, you're saying.
Yeah, the game's good. I think the game's going
to
hurt him.
Gotcha. Okay.
But he will be, this dude, like, yeah. He's going to be, I mean, he's going to be the next, he's going to be the next best player in the league. It's going to be that. How many games are the Knicks going to win this year?
You know, I thought you let me fly when you went away from the hole.
Yeah, I thought you did too. That was good.
No. that was well played. So this is how it works. The Knicks.
First of all, is the coach physically able to coach? Is he still? Is he
recovering? This is what it gets to when you've been losing so long. It's like coaching the Bad News Bears. It's not about wins and losses. It's about competing. The Knicks are going to play hard this year.
Okay.
We're going to play hard this year, and we're going to try. So, with that said, a healthy Melo, I can see us. Hold on a second. Let me see.
Well, wow.
A healthy Melo.
Wow. Okay.
Porzingis. As a matter of fact, I can't go through my roster. I just can't. It's not for anybody.
Okay. I don't need to know your 6 or 7 players.
A healthy Melo. Porzingis. Grant. Follow Robin Lopez. I think we are a more defensive team. And I think that certain teams preseason means something with. I do like the way we look during the preseason. So I'm going to say the Knicks struggle to win 40 games. They finish the season 40 and 42. And they battle for between the 6th to the 8th spot. 9th, 10th spot. 6th to 10th. 6th to 10th. Ready to finish. In the East. Yep. 40 and 42. Right under 500. So, yeah, that's where I see it. That's really where I see it. Where it's going to be a hard season for me because last year, the only thing that was hard was the beginning because I was like, oh, everybody's saying we're going to lose. No one thinks we're going to win. Yeah, we're going to win. And then everyone was 100% right. And we lost a lot early. So I never even thought about the playoffs at all last year. Like, the Knicks didn't even win their first game, I don't think. Like,
I never even thought about it.
So this time I will have to say, it's going to be hard because we're going to get glimpses of, we could probably make the playoffs. I'm going to battle this my whole season, I think, that we could almost get to a spot. So, yeah, that's what I see.
Here's my prediction that's connected to my trade prediction from earlier. I'm tying it all in. I predict you guys are going to be horrible. So I'm predicting like 32 and 50. I predict that in the trade deadline, that Carmelo Anthony gets traded to either Miami or Chicago. That's my prediction. It's not anti
Miami,
or Chicago.
Okay. Who were the pieces going back to Chicago? To the Knicks from Chicago deal?
From Chicago, I would say Joakim Noah, expiring contract, Taj Gibson.
No.
And somebody like and a young player like Bobby Portis or
this
McDermott.
This is the problem with you. You said stuff.
He's not letting Carmelo go. You know that, right?
No. I'm not even speaking as a Carmelo fan. This is what I'm trying to tell you from the New York market. This is where I'm coming from. They don't do the right thing. They do the sexy thing. You did not name one player that is sexy in that deal. So there's no way the Knicks make a deal with Dolan there. There's no way without a big name. This is not going to happen. They don't even matter about me liking Melo. They just won't do it. They won't. Not him. Because he's their only franchise player. He's their ticket. All the Knicks just make, they sell out. It's not about winning. It's just about selling.
They also sold out before he got there, too. So
they did.
I mean, they're going to continue to sell out.
To do that,
they're not gonna
now it's Phil Jackson admitting that I had no idea what I was doing. We are really building. Like, that would be such a cluster F that, no, I don't buy it at all. I'm with your theory that Melo possibly could get traded, but not for a deal like that.
Okay.
Okay, well, like I said, and, you know, Dolan, you know, maybe you catch him on a right drunken night, but I just don't see. Nah, they got to get a name. The thing is, they got to understand. The Knicks, like, even the history of the Knicks, we take old names. That's how bad we are. Like, if you had said, well, if Odell somehow gets back in the league,
and Ron Artest and Steve Francis.
That's a little talk about that. He was an older.
No, I'm not even. No, don't try to. Mine was totally different reason. You basically said they need to have a Kardashian metric of what they do.
They should.
But I'm not going to. You're not going to bring me to your level of just ignorance. I will not go there. All I'm simply saying is the Knicks don't just give away a franchise player. We take a bunch of old franchise players back. That's our mantra. So, the way I see it, the Lakers are playing terrible. Kobe's mad. Kobe comes to the Knicks, and we win the championship next year in New York.
Wow. Okay. From your lips to God's ears. All right. Finals predictions. Give me the two teams and the winner of the 2016 NBA Finals.
The Spurs and Cleveland.
Who else? Okay, Spurs beat Cleveland. Okay.
Just do not see the East beating anybody they play, whether it's Golden State, OKC, or whatever. But because I'm a man that loves storyline, I think LeBron beats Tim Duncan and gets Cleveland their first championship. That's where I go.
So you said this, okay, so you're picking Cleveland. I thought you picked the Spurs. You're picking Cleveland.
No, the Spurs. Actually, I lied. Spurs, Cleveland. Cleveland. Spurs win in six. No matter. Yeah, Spurs win in six. That's got to be real. That's what's going to happen.
Set.
Wow. I will go with, I'm struggling between Spurs and Golden State. I'm struggling between those two. I really am. You know what? I'll go in Cleveland, of course. And LeBron gets his revenge on Golden State with a more complete team. I'll go with that storyline.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, boy. I've been thinking about this all day long. I'm going to do it. I'm not taking the easy way out.
There we go.
I'm picking the Sixers and the Lakers.
Yeah, right. <I'm picking>.
Kobe gets ring number six. Back in Philly. That's a storyline.
You know what, though? The funny thing is, you're joking about that. In your heart of hearts, you still are holding off hope on that stick. You really are. You are. Let it go completely. Let it go.
Oh, number six.
Yep.
I'm picking Oklahoma City and Cleveland, and Durant gets his first ring.
Oh. Nice. That would be very intriguing. I think he would leave after that. I like that.
And he goes to Washington. So I'm out. Got y'all a championship. I'm out. I'm going. I'm coming home.
Love the story.
Must have.
Okay.
Storyline.
Goodbye.
Yes.
So we have Antonio, Cleveland, OKC. We all have Cleveland in the finals. And now that's a storyline. If Cleveland doesn't get to the finals, that's a storyline. That's like that would be the upset of, injuries withstanding. If Cleveland does not get to the finals, then David Blatt will be fired and so on. But we all expect Cleveland to get to the finals to defend the Eastern Conference Championship, and we two of us expect the West to come out champions outside of Snap. Who is taking the Cleveland LeBron storyline? And Cleveland, of course, has a legit chance. It's taking Cleveland LeBron, getting Cleveland their first championship, and taking away all the drive and Edgar Renteria, all the Cleveland Johnny Manziel, and all the Cleveland.
Yo, can we talk about? Oh wait, see, see, he's about to get. No, this is NBA.
Ah, no, but that's gonna go so left if we go with Johnny Manziel.
I stopped.
The thing is, real quick. We're so sorry. Right now, the reports would be saying alleged wife beater. His name wasn't Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress.
Yeah. Yeah, and he definitely wouldn't be backing up anybody. And
nope.
He definitely wouldn't be on the.
First of all, he would have been cut. With that resume and the climate of the NFL and domestic abuse, he would have been cut. He would have been cut.
Yeah. I'm so disgusted. See, here we go. I'm so disgusted. I literally contemplated stop watching sports. Because the day, like, we all saw, like, the stuff. No, listen to me, for real. We all saw, we were in a bar somewhere, and we all saw the stuff coming up on the screen, right? So our immediate reaction is like, oh, they're going to cut them. I think it was Thursday. Was that Friday? I remember, doing a bunch of stuff and everything like that. Yeah. Were we there on Friday? Because it was over the weekend, right?
On Friday.
Yeah, so it was over a weekend. So it was like on Monday.
Right.
So like on Monday, I'm like, oh man, that's going to be topic of conversation on every ESPN. So I was doing a bunch of stuff, everything like that, and I was like, wait, I haven't heard anything about Manziel at all, like anything. And so I was like, maybe I've missed, like maybe I just haven't watched the right, and I'm talking about all the shows, none of them. None of them
it was a
said
footnote
anything
on first page.
About Manziel. Yes, and they love talking about Manziel.
Yeah,
all
no, it was
of
a footnote.
Them.
Yeah, it was a
I
footnote.
Was so disgusted, and that's what I mean. I was like, could I literally stop watching sports? Because the double standard, the inherent racism in that is just like that's the most racist shit I've ever seen. Excuse my language.
Just
to
put it in perspective, right now, Hardy blowing up on the sideline is a bigger story than Manziel.
Oh,
yes.
It's a way bigger story.
Yep. No, it is.
I was listening to Mike and Mike today, and Danny Cannell, just in an offhanded way, was sitting on stage. He was like, yeah, you know, they were talking, they just got into Manziel, something like that. He was like, you know what, can I say something? I saw the dash cam. She was being way – I think Johnny handled that situation perfectly. She was being way out of control and blah, 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 and the cops and everything. I was just like, yo, this is the stuff that makes me see red, like just literally makes me see red. And it's like –
also, I'll say this, Rob, but you said, could I stop watching football? And as much as we get on Stephen A. Smith, I understand him a little better now. And what I mean by that is he loves his job.
Yep.
And the only way to love it and stay there is to be blind to something. And just not blind to him, but stomach to him. That just completely digested. Because he actually mentioned when they started talking about Johnny Manziel, he's like, I don't even want to hear about it, honestly. Because he's like, even with this whole domestic violence issue, it's not a sports issue. It's an NFL issue when we all know the numbers is going on in hockey, which is predominantly white. But it only matters because these are black athletes predominantly.
Yep.
Like, if we're going to care, like he said, if we're going to care, we should care. If not, let's not wait to care based off of who's in the situation, because Johnny is definitely showing us that right now.
Well, I mean, we were talking about the NBA earlier. The Thabo Sefolosha story has been a footnote. Like, this dude got his leg broken for giving a homeless man $20. I mean, that's just what happened. Like, so that's been, like, you know, nobody's been raising, you know, other than Bomani Jones, I got to give credit to, nobody's been raising a stink about that. I mean, this dude, again, got his leg broken.
Nobody cares. It's the same thing with the tennis player, Blake, who got jumped by the cop. No one cares. It's the same reason when you have Million Man March and everyone. No one cares unless we're doing wrong.
Yep.
Black people.
Yep.
No one cares unless black people are caught doing wrong. Anybody else, if black people doing right or white people doing wrong.
No one cares. It's that simple.
Johnny Football still a team. So, on that note, we can let Mr. Sapp get back to his game, get to his game, because he's dying.
Get to my game.
Dying.
Yeah.
Dying.
Woo, go Cardinals!
Palmer, Palmer.
About to go get my Cardinals jersey out.
Bring it out. Bring it out.
You got to get like three Cardinal jerseys that you have to get. And we are going to, that's going to wrap up the program. We are approaching, as a show, 500 episodes. So that's
huge.
Wow.
Bravo to you,
that,
sir.
Congratulations. Congratulations, dude.
You got to do it big. You got to do it big on the 500.
We're going to do it big. Oh, yeah. We're going to do it big. I'm planning it now. It's going to be a couple, you know, probably in the next month and a half, by December, early January. So I had to put that out
there. Oh, around your birthday, okay.
Yep. So birthday, as always, as always, thanks to the audience for joining us on this particular program. Hope you enjoy the marathon that is the NBA season. Of course, a couple footnotes. No Steve Kerr to start off the NBA season. Just getting his some back history, so he taking a little small break, get Luke Walton some burn. Give him some experience. Lamar Odom is doing better.
Thank God.
That he's living.
Hello.
The fact that he's is a minor miracle. So that you know certainly keep that in prayer. If you believe in God, keep that in prayer. And again, looking forward to a great NBA season, and we'll see if our predictions come true, and we'll see if the Sixers, who knows, the Sixers might surprise us. Maybe not. Thanks, guys, for joining the program. We'll see you next time.
All right. Take care.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk, featuring Cyril Joel Quinn. Go to itunes.apple.com and look up 1211 Sports Talk to catch the next edition, or and to catch any archive program that we have. Also, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/CyrilQuinn to catch up on all our particular programs. Have a great evening.